Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have beheld the Lamb of God throughout the Passion account as he institutes the supper, as he prays in the garden, as he is condemned before the high priest. And today we behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, as he is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. And he will be turned over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. For today, Jesus stands in the courtroom, on trial again, except this time before the Roman governor, Pilate. The charge of blasphemy that the high priest had accused him of, that everybody thought made him worthy of death, that was good enough for the Jews to condemn him to death, but not for the Roman authorities. They didn't have the sort of same outward pious attitude that the Jews had. And so they needed to bring up an actual charge, a political charge against Jesus. They needed something else to pin against him in order that he might be put to death. So now Jesus is accused with something else: breaking the law. Here's the charge. This preacher is a clear and present danger. He's way too popular. In fact, he uses his advantage. He unpatriotically turns citizens against the Lord Caesar. And by the way, he's against paying taxes too. How depraved and immoral can you get? But who's really guilty? Who's really guilty in the trial that is built against Jesus? It's certainly not Jesus. The charges are purposely twisted in order to make him look bad, but in fact, Jesus, he has still done nothing wrong. In fact, the governor actually says that over and over again, that he's innocent. See, I bring him out to you that you may know that I find him not guilty. Pilate, a Gentile pagan god worshiper, confesses Jesus as spotless, as sinless, as the Lamb of God, and yet the Jews themselves do not. In a lot of ways, we'd like to give Pilate a free pass, wouldn't we? We'd like to say, you know, he took every opportunity to try to, you know, set Jesus free. He did everything in his power. But in the end, it was either I kill this one guy who the Jews have brought to me, or this riot that has been building behind the scenes is about to get out of control. And who knows how many people are going to die. And besides all this, Pilate was sort of on hot coals to begin with. He had been told one more thing messes up here, and Pilate was out. So what's a man to do? Keep one man alive even if he's innocent? His hands are tied. But I ask again, who is in the wrong? Who is guilty in this trial? And the truth is that it's everyone. Literally everyone standing around Jesus is guilty, and Jesus is the only one who is innocent. Jews and Gentiles together. It's a joint effort to put Jesus to death. And obviously some guilt is more apparent than others, but think about it. You know, we already talked about Judas a little bit in our previous sermons. You know, what does Judas do when he's faced with his guilt? Well, he tries to course correct it, right? I know I'm guilty of betraying innocent blood, and so I'll take this blood money I got for betraying Jesus, and I'm going to throw it back into the temple. But that doesn't clear Judas of his guilt in this whole ordeal. Certainly, the Israelites can't escape their part either. They're the ones who handed the Lamb of God over. In fact, they're not even ashamed of what they did. They don't even feel sorry for their guilt. Instead, they insistently scream, "Away with this guy! Just go kill him already! We're done with him!" They take full responsibility. You know what? His blood, it can be against us. They know full well that Jesus is innocent. They know full well that he has done nothing wrong, but yet they still call down his blood on them and then on their children. Then there's Pilate, right? He can bring Jesus out as many times as he wants and declare that Jesus is innocent. He can wash his hands until they start to bleed. It doesn't matter. He can say or do whatever he wants, but Pilate is still the one who gives Jesus the death sentence. He uses his authority to release a terrorist, and yet he scourges Jesus and hands him over to be crucified. And then there's one more character we get at the very, very end of our reading, the soldiers. They're under Pontius Pilate's command, and they're guilty too. They mock Jesus. They put the purple robe on him, the crown of thorns. They pay him homage, but not real homage, right? Just a joke, to have fun, to sort of bump elbows with each other and laugh. Hail, King of the Jews! What sort of king allows this to happen? Then they take turns with a reed, right? They give him the reed to hold as like his scepter, and they take it out of his hands and they hit him in the face with it. Way to go, soldiers. And then they lead him out to be crucified. Although, remember, they're under Pilate's authority, so they can always come up with that pathetic excuse. Well, we were just following orders. There's always a way to justify the wrong that you do. And this trial, too, shows us that we share equally in the guilt. The truth is that all have sinned, and that means you. You are guilty of betrayal, denial, mockery, sending Jesus to be crucified. Iscariot, Pilate, the soldiers, even the leaders of Israel, their sin is your sin. Their action and yours are interchangeable. How can I be so certain? Well, the scriptures tell us that. You, with the help of wicked men, put the Lamb of God, Jesus, to death by nailing him to the cross. If you want to be free from guilt, I mean, if you really want to be free, then stop sinning. Go ahead. Stop sinning now. Stop doing what is wrong. Don't do it any longer. In fact, if you wanted to be free from guilt, you would have stopped already. You would have already done it. But you can't. So instead, what we do is we try to throw back the silver money to make amends for the sin that we can't absolve ourselves. Or we go and we wash our hands and deny that we've done anything wrong. But it still doesn't free you from the guilt. We even go far as to blaming everything else around us. People, situations, things in life. We like to pass the buck. We like to give blame to everything else. Well, I was just following orders, or this is what anybody would have done in my circumstance, or I couldn't help it, or it was a sin of passion. The truth is that you put Jesus to death, and your excuses sound pathetic. They really do. As do mine. You and I, we crucified the Lamb of God. And yet in the midst of all of this guilt, yours included, where is the Lamb of God? But he's suffering it all. He's doing it willingly. He's doing it lovingly. And he's doing it for you. Your salvation depends on it. It depends on this unfair exchange where we hold all of this guilt, and yet innocent Jesus has to be crucified. And yet we need to rely on this above everything else, because this is the only way our sin gets taken away. This is the only way we can be free of guilt. This is the only way that we don't get damned with our sin. Jesus has to take it. The Lamb of God is redemption. That means being purchased, being won. And it cost Jesus dearly. But this transaction is exactly what guilty sinners need. You know, in some circles, they call it the sweet swap. Everything that is sinful that we have, everything that is sinful that we are, Jesus takes for himself. And all of his innocence and righteousness and blessedness, he gives to you. He cashes the paycheck. The paycheck of sin. And everything that earns. And, you know, this is actually one of my favorite texts because there's this perfect depiction of this swap going on right there in the middle of it. Who do they bring out but guilty Barabbas? And he's set free. And innocent Jesus is condemned, and it's no accident that this happens. It's on purpose. Jesus chooses to let all of this happen to him that the scriptures might be fulfilled and that you might have this little tiny example of exactly not only what Jesus does for Barabbas, but what Jesus does for everybody in the world. He takes your place. And because of that, I have great news for you. Your sin isn't yours any longer. Jesus took it. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to him. He was declared guilty with it. He got damned with all of it. And since your sin is on the Lamb of God, it's no longer on you. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are one who has been purchased with the blood of the Lamb. This promise gives you righteousness, innocence, purity, holiness to boast in. You can leave this place tonight and say, I'm innocent. You can go free. Boasting in Jesus Christ. And this is why Jesus doesn't resist what happens to him. This is why Jesus speaks not a word as he is accused over and over again, but he simply suffers it. Why? Because he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.